It is the whole duty of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. We had a wonderful morning this morning here at the Tanner Church of Christ. I appreciate all the encouragement you extended to me, all the kind words you had for me after that lesson. I hope tonight will be another encouraging lesson for you tonight. Tonight we're going to be continuing our theme for the day about evangelism and about bringing souls to Jesus Christ. One thing I meant to get to this morning that I forgot, I told you we were going to talk about when to evangelize, why do we evangelize, and how do we evangelize. Well, we evangelize right now, every day. That's the when. When? Right now. As soon as you leave this building. How? With all boldness. With all your zeal. And with all your gratitude towards Jesus Christ who gave you the message to spread. That's the how. We've done the when, we've done the how. Here's the why. The why is because Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ commanded you. And Jesus Christ expects you to do this. Jesus Christ redeemed your sins. The least you can do is tell someone about it. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, the Bible says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Now this is a verse we read this morning in Bible class. What is the Hebrew writer trying to say? The Hebrew writer says that God's dream, basically, the Hebrew writer is saying that basically God's dream for mankind is that we bring many sons to glory. The Bible says in this verse, He brings many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. God's dream for you and for me is for us to bring children to Him. God's dream is for us to go ye. How are many sons brought to glory? Many sons are brought to glory by those who go and teach His message. God is the ultimate soul winner. So tonight as we talk about personal evangelism, it is the whole duty of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. How many of us have brought someone to Christ in 2015? How many of us are working on someone right now? How many of us have ever even tried? How many of us have converted someone since we were baptized? You know, we don't want to be like the congregation of the Lord's people where this one preacher was preaching about how we don't need to be dead in Christ. The preacher says that the Bible says that this very congregation is going to be the first people in heaven. The preacher said to this congregation, boldly, all loudly, like those good old gospel preachers, he said, "This very congregation, we are going to be the first people in heaven." One of the deacons stood up in the back, red-faced, mad, and said, "Now, preacher, you're going to have to show me that verse. I don't believe that." The preacher smiled and replied, "The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first." Brethren, we do not want to be a dead congregation. Now this congregation right here has no problem with that, but we can all improve on the things that we have been doing. We need to be alive. We need to be active. on the daily basis on our march for the Master. My grandfather, D.Mar Elam, his favorite verse is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, we can know that our labor is not in vain. If our labor is in the Lord, the Bible tells us our work is not in vain. The Bible tells us that we are to be grounded, that we are to be steadfast, we are to be immovable. We can apply this to our evangelism. We need to be steadfast. As we talked about this morning, we need to be persistent in our evangelism and as we try to bring souls to Jesus Christ. You know, we talked about this morning how we're going to have this door-knocking theme this year. You know, some people say, oh, that was just something we did in the 60s and 70s. That doesn't work anymore. Nobody wants to talk to us anymore. Well, I know personally of a mission trip that some students from Fried Hardeman had last spring where they door-knocked. They door-knocked here in America, and guess what? It worked. Dozens of people came to church due to their door-knocking efforts. Maybe even, I believe, 4 or 5 people were baptized due to their door-knocking. So to tell me the excuse that door-knocking doesn't work anymore, Americans don't want to talk to people out of the blue like they used to. Brethren, any way we can think of to preach and teach Jesus Christ, we need to try. It doesn't matter if it doesn't work. I don't care if they slam the door and hit your face. We need to try because we are commanded to do so. You know, why not instead of saying, have a nice day to your friend or your neighbor, why don't you say, do you have Christ in your life? Why not leave a tract as you're on the dentist office or getting your hair done or what? I don't know what the case might be. But why don't you do these little things that you know you can do? You know you can do these little things to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Why don't you do those things from now on? It's these little things that'll make this church grow both spiritually and numerically. We have got to make winning souls a part of our daily lives. Tonight, as we extend this lesson, we need to know that people are yearning for the gospel. People are yearning for an answer to all the problems that they have. People are yearning to know the truth and for that truth to set them free. Wouldn't it feel great to help change someone's life forever? This is the greatest work on earth. There is no greater thing that you can think of. There is no greater career that you could go into. There is no greater job that you could have than that of a soul winner. The Proverbs say in Proverbs 11, verse 30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. This isn't just something that some get put into doing or pressured into doing. You are a wise person if you win souls. If you will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this will be our base text for tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 19. Here we have Paul talking to the church at Corinth. Starts in verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker of it with you. Do you ever feel uncomfortable while you're evangelizing? Have you ever tried to talk to that friend or that coworker or that neighbor or that family member? And you just feel uncomfortable? Well, so did the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul himself felt uncomfortable sometimes while he was evangelizing. Can you imagine this scene with me real quick? In Acts chapter 17, we read of Paul going into Athens. Athens, Greece, was full of false gods. They had so many gods that they made another god called the unknown god just in case they missed one. They offered up sacrifices to the god of the unknown god just in case they had looked over him. They had so many gods, false gods. They had statues as you walked in of these Greek gods. As you walked in, and Paul walks in Acts chapter 17. He sees all these statues of these false gods. And then he sees this unknown God statue. And as he preaches to the men of Athens, he says, I perceive you are religious in all things. He compliments them. Can you imagine the scene on that day? Hundreds, maybe even thousands of people looking on at Paul. Not believing Jehovah God at all. None of them believed in Jehovah God. Paul had to start at the very basics with these people. So he talks about creation. He talks about the different things. He goes through a progression about evangelism. And yet, only two or three of those people followed Paul at the end. Do you think Paul felt uncomfortable in front of all those men of Athens, those Athenians? He sure did. I can imagine. But yet he did it anyway. He became all things to all men. Paul was uncomfortable while evangelizing. Can you imagine Paul having to make himself weak? Paul says, I made myself weak so that I could win the weak. Paul uses the word win five times in five consecutive verses. This wasn't a natural thing for Paul to do, to make himself weak, to make himself without law, to make himself with law. Paul was one of the most versatile men in all of the Bible. The man was a Roman. The man was a Jew. The man studied at the feet of Gamaliel. So when Paul says, I made myself everything to everyone, he could truly say that. You can learn from this passage about Paul that it's not about what you feel. It's not about how comfortable you are. It's not about how uncomfortable you are. It's about what furthers the borders of the kingdom. Paul meant business when it came to personal evangelism, and God means business today about it also. Brethren, Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The Jews first and also to the Greeks. Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament, but tonight I'm going to ask each and every one of you as individuals to put yourself in that place. If God had chosen you to write the majority of the New Testament, would you have written something so powerful as Romans 1:16? Would you have written something so powerful as 1 Corinthians 9:16? Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Is that something you would pen with your own hand? What kind of zeal do you have when it comes to bringing others to Jesus Christ? What kind of zeal do you have tonight? If you will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, read verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled unto God. Here we have Paul pleading. He says, we are pleading that you be reconciled unto God. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ to this world. Jesus set it up to where you and I were to be the image of Himself to the world. You and I are supposed to be Jesus Christ to this world. We are supposed to be Christians. We shine the light of Christ through our very name. Our very name is Christians, with the prefix of Christ at the beginning. We must all be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You know, many Christians start out on fire for Jesus Christ. Many times we see young people get baptized and say, I cannot wait to set the world on fire for Jesus Christ. I cannot wait to go on mission trips. I cannot wait to go to all these things. I'm gonna change it. I'm going to flip the world upside down, as the Bible says. We see Christians say, I'm going to plan on doing it. They plan on doing it. They plan on doing it. They plan on doing it. And then they become older. The older Christians in the congregation who never did the things they planned on doing look to the younger men of the congregation and the younger women of the congregation to fill their place. We have a problem in the church. The older members look to the younger members to take their place, and the younger members look to the older members and say, we don't know enough yet. So you have the older member saying, it's your job now, and you have the younger member saying, we can't do it yet. So at the end of the day, a lot of work that could be getting done is just simply not being done in today's church. That's why the phrase, it is the whole duty of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world, is so important. It's not the old member's job. It's not the young member's job. It's not the middle-aged job. It is everyone's job. Everyone who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it is your job. It is your job, your responsibility to win souls for Jesus Christ. My granddad knew of a man who obeyed the gospel at the age of 80 years old. This man had cancer on his face, as big as his hand. The man had cancer on his face. The man was 80 years old, and yet he still went on and preached and taught 21 people and baptized all of those people. 21 souls were added to the Book of Life because of his persistence and because he felt called to go into all the world. Brethren, when it comes to, here am I, send me, Isaiah answered God's call. The same way God called Isaiah to do those things, Jesus is calling us to do things today. The same way Isaiah said, or the same way Isaiah heard God say, who shall I send? He took that and put it to himself, saying, he will send me. The same way Isaiah did that, you and I tonight. Jesus said, "Go ye." We need to take that after tonight and make it say to us, "Go me." As we go into our everyday lives, do we have this mindset? My granddad also knew of a woman. She unfortunately was paralyzed from the neck down. She was paralyzed from the neck down, but yet she still taught and brought 6 people to Christ. We have a very own instance of that here. Brethren, a lot of times in the churches of Christ, Christians are not paralyzed from the neck down, but rather from the neck up. A lot of times Christians today are paralyzed when it comes to personal evangelism. They refuse to spread the message of Jesus Christ. The bottom line is, we have got to win souls for Jesus Christ. Through our actions, through our words, through our deeds, through our very presence, through our knowledge of the Scriptures. Brethren, it used to be said of the churches of Christ that we were walking Bibles. It used to be said of the churches of Christ that we were Bible thumpers. Well, guess what? They meant it as a derogatory term, but if you are called a Bible thumper, praise God, because you are giving them the only thing that can save them. You are thumping the Bible, the Word of God. Don't take that as a bad thing, as a disgraceful thing. What else am I supposed to thump? Some creed? No, we are supposed to spread the Word of God in humility, as we know. We have got to do a better job of, first of all, knowing our Bibles. How are we supposed to save the world? How are we supposed to turn the world upside down if we don't know our Bibles? We used to be able to point out a book, chapter, and verse for everything in the Bible almost. Some of you here tonight can do that. It was said of Brother Gus Nichols and Brother Guy N. Woods, wonderful preachers, that if all the copies of the Bible were destroyed, if every single copy was taken away, those two men alone could recreate the entire Bible from their minds. Now you might think, now Ben, that might be a little bit of a stretch. Well, Gus Nichols was commonly known that as he was in free time, as he was just sitting in the car or whatever, he would say to the person beside him, read a verse out of the Bible. The person would read a verse. Gus Nichols would then quote verbatim the verse before it and the verse after. Now, Brother Gus Nichols had a little bit of issue with Matthew 1 and Luke 3 with the genealogies, but if he thought hard enough, he could figure it out. Gus Nichols alone could probably recreate the Bible. We need to give ourselves to faithfulness in daily Bible reading. I appreciate the work that's done here with that. You see these numbers on the board? In the bulletin it says, goal 100%. That's a wonderful goal. We all should read our Bibles more, myself included. All of us need to devote ourselves more to the Word of God. Too many times we enter a discussion of religion, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, whether it be wherever you might be, scared. We enter a discussion of religion wondering when they're going to trip me up, wondering when am I going to mess up. Brethren, we need to enter discussions of religion with boldness. We need to enter discussions of religion with belief that God is on our side. Because God is on our side. We have not been given a spirit of fear, As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Brethren, are you ready to share with Paul, share with the rest of the disciples, the apostles, share with them in the sufferings for Jesus Christ? This morning we talked about how disciples and apostles were often martyred for their faith. Are you ready tonight to share with them in that same suffering? It is a daily choice to be a Christian. Just like everything else in life, you can choose to be happy or not. You can choose to be sad or not. Well, you can choose to be a faithful child of God or not. And one of the choices we each need to make tonight is the choice of giving ourselves to faithfulness in soul winning. The Bible is just as powerful yesterday as it is today. It was just as powerful when the apostles were preaching it. It is just as powerful today as it will be tomorrow. It is just as powerful today as it will be 1,000 years from now. And that should give us comfort. Because no matter what goes awry in our life, no matter what gets destroyed, no matter what gets taken away from us as Americans, if we have the Word of God, we know that we have all the power that we need. We know that if we are preaching the Word of God, God is with us because God is speaking through us. You know, a lot of people say, "I don't know what I could say. I don't know what I should say to encourage someone to obey the gospel." Well, brethren, it is not up for you to say. God didn't let us have that excuse. God didn't let us have that worry on our minds. It isn't up for you to say. It isn't up for me to say. The power of the gospel, the power of Jesus Christ, was already written 2,000 years ago. All you have to do is use this utensil. Use this book as your guide. Jesus Christ will convict people. You don't have to. So that's no longer an excuse as you go through your life. You know, it isn't up to you to convert. Many times Christians have the idea that Jesus said, "Go ye and convert all nations." No. Jesus Christ said, "Go ye and preach the gospel." Brethren, Jesus called you, Jesus appointed you, as we talked about this morning, to preach the gospel, not to convert. Our end goal is to convert, but your immediate goal is just to get out there and open your mouth. That's easy enough, isn't it? The least you can do is tell someone what Jesus did for you. The least you can do is tell someone your story. You might not have book, chapter, and verse on how they need to be a Christian, but you can tell them how you became a Christian. What have you been doing in your efforts to save this lost and dying world? If you will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdoms of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Brethren, as I said earlier, I am here to tell you tonight, the power of a great message is not in me. The power of a great message is not in Robert. It's not in the elders. It's in Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Christ does not send us to baptize. That is our goal. But Christ does not send us to baptize. Christ sends us to preach the gospel. This is what Paul says here, right there in the Word of God. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, through our efforts of preaching the gospel, people will in turn be baptized. If God pricks their heart, people will in turn be baptized. But our immediate goal is just to preach the gospel. God has not made it hard for you and me. A lot of people look at this subject of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. People look at this subject of personal evangelism and start to sweat it. People start to get worried. People start to say, "Preacher, are you telling me I got to do something? I thought that was your job." Brethren, God has made it easy for each of us. God has made it possible for you and for me to fulfill what He wants from us, to fulfill what He has commanded us to do. The Church of Christ is often described as just a bunch of dunkers. You know, in high school, I would tell people what they needed to do to be baptized because they would ask me. And I would tell them about immersion and about how the Bible says you must be immersed for the remission of your sins. And they would call me just a dunker. I just like to dunk a bunch of people. We come back from missionary journeys and they just say, "Oh, did you just get them dunked?" Brethren, we're not dunking these people. We're not baptizing these people. We're not immersing these people just to get them wet. We're immersing them so that they can attain the blood of Jesus Christ. The same way you and I did. The Bible has laid the pattern for you and me. It's up to us to tell others about it. Have you been telling others around you about the Word of God? Can you say to yourself that you are a soul winner? Can you honestly say to yourself that you stand up for Christ? Isn't it time to speak out? Isn't it time to, as Robert wrote in his bulletin, throw caution to the wind and go for it? Brethren, it's time to go and preach the gospel. It's time to let go of our excuses and follow what God has commanded us to do. It's time for us to flip the world on its axis, as the Bible talks about in the book of Acts. It's time for you and me to win souls for Jesus Christ. We are called to a higher calling, not to times of stalling. Tonight, as we give the invitation, this morning I read to you 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." Behold, today is the day of salvation. Isn't it time to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior? Isn't it time to finally let go of the sins that easily entangle you, as Hebrews 12, verse 2 says? Isn't it time to finally let go of all those things that have been holding you back? What has been holding you back? I don't know what the sin is that easily entangles you tonight. I don't know what Satan's hands has their grasp on when it comes to you. Is it lying? Is it not being honest to your people around you? Is it not attending worship services faithfully? What is the sin that easily entangles you tonight? Jesus Christ died so that you can become untangled. Jesus Christ died so that you could break free from the chains. So you could break free from the bondage of sin. Jesus did that for you. All you have to do is take Jesus' hand. All you have to do is say, "Guide me, Lord." Tonight you can give yourself to Jesus. Tonight you can let go of those things and truly commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Isn't it time? It might be the case that you've already been baptized, but you have become a friend of the world. Brethren, we do not need to be friends of the world. We need to be enemies of the world. We need to be friends to God. We need to be servants of God. Have you not been a servant of God through evangelism? It might be the case that, as I was saying, how many of you have done this or that, that you can say to yourself, "I've never done those things."